Today's program has been brought to you by Clarkson Potter Publishers, the only dedicated lifestyle group within Random House. Potter invites readers to live well. We seek tastemakers, visionaries, and rising stars and partner them to craft books and products that define their brand while engaging, entertaining, and instructing their audience.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and today we're coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You can listen live every Monday at noon, and you can download the podcast on iTunes. Today, I am joined by photographer, author, and artist Todd Selby, the creator of TheSelby.com, EdibleSelby.com, the books The Selby is in Your Place, and the brand new book Edible Selby from Abrams, which is out now and features 40 kitchens, homes, gardens, restaurants from interesting and creative figures within the culinary world, as well as magnets made from Todd's watercolor drawings. So thanks for being here, Todd.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start a little bit back. I know you've done a ton of press for the book so far, and everyone's talking about food, but today I want to take a slightly different angle on it, since you originally kind of started a little bit in the lifestyle world, which we overlap with a tiny bit. So I want to kind of figure out where your creative background came from. Did you grow up in a household where people were kind of paying attention to details that, like in spaces and kitchens?
Not really. I don't really come from like a design or architecture background, and my family was never really into that. I think that we traveled a lot as I was growing up, and my dad's a neurologist, but he's also, his passion is really photography. So we would travel like two or three times a year to somewhere really strange. Like my friends were kind of like going to the beach or going to Hawaii if they were lucky or something like that. And we were always going to like the USSR or China or Japan, or, you know, we were kind of always traveling and taking pictures. So it was always kind of something we did. So it was always about kind of people, and my dad is super into nature kind of stuff, which I was never really into that, like National Geographic style, you know, sunsets and polar bears and that sort of thing. But I was, you know, was interested in all the people that we met along the way. And so I kind of got into photography by doing portraits. And then from that, meeting interesting people and kind of being really excited about taking pictures of them in their own spaces. So that's kind of my background with that.
Where did the illustration start to creep in? Did you go to school for any of this? Or is this something that's sort of always naturally been part of your storytelling process?
Neither, actually. I didn't go to school for it, and it wasn't always something that I did. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I had a friend, I can't remember his name, but when I was a little kid, and he always drew Garfield, and I was so impressed. I would hang out with him every recess, and he would always just be drawing Garfield. I'd be like, draw Garfield again, draw Garfield. And so I was always kind of like envious of his drawing skills, and people who could draw really well and paint and stuff. I've always been really impressed by that, but I never really did it myself. It basically came out of this when I started working on the Selby that, there was, you know, I wanted to just be more than just like the photos, because I felt like I wanted to be more personal feeling and less kind of digital feeling and have more of a hand done element. And so that's when I started doing like really crude watercolor illustrations and my logos in watercolor. And then I started doing handwritten interviews with people, which you also see in the Edible Selby book. There's like, that's kind of evolved that now it's kind of, it's the interview, but it's also like hand-done recipes in the book. So it's kind of like all of it has to do with just like giving the shoots that I do more personality and more of a human touch.
That really sets it apart. I mean, one of the things I wanted to talk about was how you sort of see the Selby, both the Selby and the Edible Selby, sort of standing apart from other similar websites. I feel like we both exist in a genre where there are a million websites about lifestyle now, especially when it comes to photographing, whether it's spaces or people or makers. But for me, the Selby's always stood apart. And I'm wondering, for me, that's always been because of the hand created elements. Do you think that's what sets you apart primarily? Or do you sort of feel a bigger sense of difference between those other sites?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my perspective is maybe different. I mean, the way that I came to this is, like I was saying, like, it's not from a design perspective or architecture. So I think a lot of people are really motivated from that, which is cool, but it's never been my thing. I'm much more like personality driven, but so that's, I've always been looking for big personalities and the people and like the space. So it's kind of like a different viewpoint. But then, yeah, I think that I've always been really conscious of trying to do something that has like a bit of my own DNA in it and like personality, and trying to get, whenever I can get that in there, I think is better. And when I see other people do something like their own thing on the internet and add their, you see their personality through the whole thing, I think that's really successful, and that's really the way. Otherwise, it's kind of like everything can just kind of seem a bit generic, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about personalities a little bit. I think that's, for me, one of the other things I love about your website is you've got some incredibly, an interesting range of people, people that I think a lot of us would just see as like celebrities and actors, and then people that you may not expect but have incredible homes or just incredible personal style. How do you go about picking the people and the places that you choose to feature?
Yeah, the process that I have for that is, it's very similar to the Selby, like the home stuff as well as the edible Selby stuff I'm doing now. It's really great that I work by myself. So it's basically at the root of it, just whoever I think is interesting and not someone who I think, this is really distracting me, all these pizzas. Everyone's eating these Roberta's pizzas, and it's making me insane. I'm going to, like, move my chair so I don't see that anymore.
We need to face the radio station towards the wall, and not where the pizzas come from.
Okay. So, yeah, it's really about just trying to, like, find someone different and appeal and not do the expected thing.
Yeah.
You know, when I find myself, like, I think there was a moment there where it was, like, I fell into, like, some sort of a taxidermy pit. and I was like, oh, my God, I'm shooting another like stuffed jackalope. I'm like, okay, stop myself. And like, I always try to like mix it up whenever I can, like switch. Get out of New York City and go to Tokyo and shoot older people or younger people. Try to like always mix it up as much as I can. And find people that themselves like really inspire me.
Yeah.
Their personality, but also their space and their like perspective is different and unique. And, that's what I'm always trying to do. And like, that's much more exciting to me than just like, oh, it's like a famous person's house or something. So I'm always trying to like give people, because I think people really want to see famous people's houses. But at the same time, like, it's really fun when it's something totally like, wow, I can't believe you did that shoot or whatever, you know.
Well, exactly. Well, also, famous people's houses aren't all that interesting, to be honest. Sometimes they don't have interesting spaces, or they don't have interesting things, or they have designers to their homes, and their homes don't look like they're full of their own personality. Yeah. How do you sort of go about it? I mean, I do this too with my site, where you're reaching out to people and you want them to share a private space. How do you handle it if the home is maybe not what you expected, or has everything worked out as you have hoped, and the houses have been equally interesting as the people?
No, I mean, generally, people's houses aren't that interesting. I mean, my house isn't that interesting. A lot of people, you know, it's like, it's a lot of research, just same as you do. And like, I don't make assumptions. I mean, I kind of like, on a certain level I do, because I'm like, sometimes I'm like, oh, this person's really amazing. Like, and you know, usually you can tell, maybe they have a great personal style and they have an aesthetic, you know, that like what they do, like, okay, you gotta get into their, check out their place. But I almost never, I won't say the word never, but almost never have like gone out and committed to like doing a shoot and shown up without knowing what the place, already seeing pictures or visiting. Like, I don't do it, because it just puts you in an awkward position, really.
Yeah. What are the differences you've noticed between, I mean, you're talking about shooting in completely different places, whether you're shooting in Japan or Europe or the States. Are you noticing a difference in the way people are responding to those requests? I've noticed that people in Europe in particular are far more private with their homes than the States.
I haven't experienced that actually in Europe. I mean, our cultures are pretty similar. It's between European cultures and Western. Like, I think Asia is where I found the most challenges and most. I mean, you experience that all. Some people are really private all over the world, but like in Asia, it's like there's so many more things about like, you know, about caring more about what people think about your house, and maybe it seems like you know, there's all these kind of preconceptions and nerves. So that can get into like, also mistranslation. Like they don't understand what I'm now. I've done a lot of work in Japan. So mm-hmm. they most like when I'm contacting people, I can show them stuff in Japanese. They understand what I'm doing. But in the beginning when I was going there, they were like, it was a lot of confusion, you know?
Do you let people have things off limits, or do you have kind of a base rule of like, if I'm in your house, everything is up for grabs?
No. The way that I do it, and this goes for the food world, just mm-hmm. any kind of shoot, is like I go usually by myself, maybe with an assistant, but 90% of the time I'm by myself. I show up and I ask for a tour. And so they show me around their space, they kind of talk to me about what, you know, about their place and show me some things. And from that, I intrinsically understand that on the tour, they did not open that door to their bedroom. And I won't ask about that, you know, and it's just like a respect thing. So mm-hmm. it's totally casual. So I kind of like have that way of doing it. And because I don't want to be intrusive, you know.
How do you make people comfortable in their homes? I feel like in all of the tours I've seen, whether it's homes or it's kitchens, that people look incredibly at ease with you. And I'm guessing your background as a photographer, you've got some tricks up your sleeve.
Well, I think I gave away the best one is come by yourself, ask for a tour. And it's just, it's also just about being real. Like when I've been doing photography full time since 2001. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, when I first started, like I was really inspired by certain photographers, like Reinie K. Dykstra, mispronounced her name, but people like really formal portraiture. And I always wanted everything to look a certain way. I'm like, okay, I want it to be like straight on and graphic and lit like this. And they're doing this series. It was like always, and I was really controlling over everything. Like when I was doing a shoot, mm-hmm. I'm like, I want it to look like this, and I want you to be here. I want this. But what I've realized after doing it for years is that if you do that all the time, all your pictures look exactly the same.
It's true.
Which is a big mistake. So what I've started to do is over time is get much more loose and casual, and like that it's much better if you kind of give that control to the person you're mm-hmm. shooting, and things can get really weird and go in totally different directions and have no, and it's better that way. Cause then it'll be different. Like that's what I hope for, is I hope that I'm in that situation with someone who's really creative and has some bizarre idea, and they're like, we're gonna do this thing, or I want to be naked in the shower and like you're do this, or we're gonna, you know, I've had, you know, I'm gonna wear my long johns and get my rifle out and go out, and you're just like, cool, you know, I'm totally encouraged that.
You're just gonna roll
with, which it. I think that's much different than a lot of people's experience with photographers. When they come there, they're like, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do this and I want to do this, and you're gonna, and always pushing and pushing, you know.
Well, you're also, I mean, you're fortunate and you're smart because you're picking people that are probably far more creative than I think the average photography subject. I feel like most people arrive thinking a photographer is going to have like a grand plan.
Yeah, that's right. Like the people that I pick, that's a lot of it too. Yeah. It's not like I'm shooting like a CEO in their boardroom and they're like, okay, you have 30 seconds to do this. And what are you doing? You know, it's like those kind of shoots. It's much more like casual. And I mean, it's not always... Like when I'm doing the food, like the edible Selby was much different situation because there you're in places, you're in people's places of work, mm-hmm. whether it's a kitchen or it's a farm or it's they're making cheese or they're making wine, like they're working. So it's a difference between going to shoot someone in their house just chilling out, like mm-hmm. having a cup of tea, like having a laugh with you versus like they're working. So it's like a different vibe and much more intense. So it's like it's good that I had that preparation with the home. Like I can kind of roll with that, and I know my way around the kitchen and how to kind of stay out of people's way generally. Mm-hmm. But it's way more intense, you know.
Yeah. So I really love the videos that you've done for your website, and it's been interesting to see how photographers in particular have integrated video into their work. What sort of role do you see video playing going forward for the Selby? And sort of what are some projects you have coming up? I think you have a couple in the works, right, that are video based?
Yeah, I mean, it's a transition that's happening with all the, everything is moving that way, is integrating video and film. And at first I really resisted it just because like every camera that you have now can do amazing film. You can do great little videos out of every camera. So every single shoot, like, let's do a video or everything. Like, let's do video. I really resisted that And the way that I kind of started working with it is I hired great DPs. Mm-hmm. Bob Richman, who did the September issue, was the first DP I ever worked with, who did Rockaway Taco. Azine, who edited, also edited the September issue. She was one of the editors of it. I hired like the best crews I could find and the best DPs and worked with a lot of great people. So I kind of like learned mm-hmm. from them. That was my film school. Rather than just like, hey, my Canon or Nikon or whatever does film, I'm going to go make a film, you know, like, yeah. which I see, I feel like a lot of photographer films fall into that genre right now, yeah. Which is like painful, you know? So I started getting into it and it's been really fun for me. It's more like, it's much more collaborative because the photography stuff I do is much more like solitary. Mm-hmm. It's just like me and the subject, which is fun. And then the films are much bigger crews and kind of working with a lot of people and, working with a DP and that's really fun for me. And like a great, I see it as like a great learning experience, you know? I've been doing these little films on my website that I kind of self-commissioned. And then from that, I started doing, I did some films for the New York Times. Mm-hmm. I did a series of three films for their website that around edible celery. So a mushroom hunter and then like a big dinner party and then like a Brazilian dinner party with Ignacio Matos and his crew. So, you know, a lot of them kind of have the same feeling as the mm-hmm. photography. I'm also getting a lot into doing more commercial projects. So I just did a series of commercials for Volkswagen. And I've done a Bank of America TV commercial. So it's exciting for me to do more like TV. Like, you know, those are crazy. That's like 150 people crews and big projects. So it's fun to have that like mix of like all the way from solitary to like giant projects, you know?
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about your most recent big project, the book Edible Selby. We'll be right back.
Today's featured book is The Collected Home by Daryl Carter. In The New Traditional, Daryl Carter laid out the principles of his widely recognized and beloved design aesthetic, which balances individual comfort with a subtle color palette to achieve serene and timeless style. Now, Daryl explores the essence of what brings a home to life, from textures to multi-purpose furniture to unexpected objects. The Collected Home again dazzles with gorgeous photographs of rooms and details and enlightening text about what makes a space both comfortable and extraordinary. Additionally, Daryl provides, for the first time ever, hands-on advice for approaching home design, such as defining short and long-term goals, from selecting an antique door knocker to planning the architectural elements of an addition. Lavishly illustrated and with lots of hardworking information, The Collected Home will be a must-have book for anyone desirous of a home that feels richly layered, full of character, comfortable, and unquestionably calm. The Collected Home by Daryl Carter is $45 and available wherever books are sold.
Hey, welcome back to After the Jump. I'm your host, Grace Bonney, and today I'm speaking with photographer, author, and artist Todd Selby. Before the break, we were talking about Todd's creative background, the work he's done with the Selby.com, and working with creative personalities in their homes. But now I really want to talk about this sort of transition you've made from photographing people's interiors to photographing restaurants and sort of the food communities as well as makers in general. For me, that doesn't seem like a huge shift, but I've been in my research was reading all of your recent interviews, and everybody seems to be like, what's this change from fashion interiors? But to me, it's just kind of a horizontal going back and forth between people who are creative in different fields. What made you choose to sort of take a slight departure from the interiors to move to food?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's like within like our community and bloggers and kind of design, like it's kind of like a well accepted fact that like food creatives, so it's like a same exact thing as like mm-hmm. fashion creative and design. It's all kind of like the same world. So yeah, I would characterize it just like as a shift of focus, mm-hmm. for sure. And it's something that was like just kind of a natural evolution, I think, for me, that I was, so many of the people that I've been drawn to have been from design and fashion element, but there was always like this food thing, like, you know, someone like a Pierre Hermé, there's like these incredible characters in food, and there's so much passion. And I mean, I think that at the end of the day, it's so hard, and there's so much work involved with being in the food world, that to do it and do well, like, you have to be so passionate. And I think that's exciting to me. And it also means that, like, the people who do it, are, there's just some incredible characters. So yes. I thought that was really, like, that was the root of my project.
For the book, for Edible Selby, the book, there are 40 personalities in the book. To me, that seems like a small amount compared to how many people you must know. How did you pare that down?
Yeah, it was tough.
I know, that sounds like a beast of an editing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm project. Working with my editor. So a lot of it had, like, I was just proposed stuff with Deborah Aronson, mm-hmm. the editor at Abrams. And she has a good feeling for, like, you know, trying to show diversity through it as much as we could. And, like, in space, different regions, mm-hmm. and cult and high and low cuisine and all sorts of different things, street food. And so I was just trying to, like, get that mix in a natural way, like, yeah. from the people that I wanted to shoot. And we just kind of worked it out.
So how did you make, did you sit down and make a list? Did you say, these are my favorite places, I'm going to start pouring through them? Or how did that process work?
It kind of worked in a few different ways. There was a few categories of food and places that I really wanted to shoot. Like, I knew I really, you know, had to do pizza, had to do Italy. I really wanted to, you know, I'm really into baking, and I wanted to do the tuna, like, Tsukiji market in Tokyo always interests me. So I want to try to do something with that. And then a lot of it had to do with just, like, talking to people, the vast majority. So it was just the food world. It's like a network.
Mm-hmm.
And it exists, it's related to all these things, but it really exists on its own. And it was like starting over again.
Yeah.
For me, when I moved from, in terms of, like, they didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
They didn't care. they didn't care about my blog. They were like, oh, cool. I mean, they don't care. Yeah. You know, it was just like a whole other world. They didn't. And even when I started working with New York Times, like, I thought, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to do this thing with Time. Like, a lot of them were just like, whatever. They're just like, they just want to do their thing.
And you have to kind of love that about the
community. Yeah, I think that's cool. Then. Like, they're just, you know, so dedicated. So, like, to them, like, they're just, you know, they're just like, oh, some guy is going to be all pesky and be up yeah. in our business and, like, who knows, be bothering us. So it was very much about earning trust and, mm-hmm. like, getting in with this network of people that would kind of introduce me. Like, Ignacio Matos, he was a chef at Il Buco, and I knew him then. We were great friends. And then he was at ISA, and he's connected to, like, he was my in, basically, through to the Chez Panisse, because he used to work mm-hmm. there, and then to, like, people in Latin America, to Dom, and then kind of segueing to Europe and all over. So it was kind of talking to chefs.
So what's the process like, or how is it different in terms of photographing some sort of food-related space, whether it's a restaurant or the garden or the prep space, versus a home? I, like, shudder to think about how you had to kind of move around people running around you like crazy. Or did you set aside time to photograph when they weren't working?
No, I only really wanted to shoot while they were working, because otherwise it's just a dead space, yeah. you know? So it was very much reportage style. Some chefs and some shoots are more kind of involved. Like, I go to their houses, we go to market, we go. So there's, like, some that we kind of get more involved with, and some that are a bit more collaborative. Like, a funny one was when I went to shoot Rasmus Kofed at Geranium. He won the Bocuse d'Or bronze, silver, and gold. He's like, you know, he's an incredible character in the food world, and so talented, and his restaurant's incredible. And so that took forever to get him to, like, say yes to do it. It was, like, calling all the time and call back later and who's this and whatever. And finally, like, I got through and got to him, and, like, you know, he was into it. And I show up, and to do the shoot. And I'm like, all right, you know, we start talking about the shoot. I introduce myself. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is how it normally works. Like, I'll just watch, you know, I'll shoot the prep and shoot you guys doing a service. And then you could maybe do like a few dishes that I could just like shoot. You could do like the, and he's like, he just puts up his hand. He's like, fly on the wall. And he points at me. And I just laughed. I was like, all right, man. All right. I get it. So then from then on, we were totally cool. It was just like fly on the wall. I get it, you know, which is so hard. And this is something that I didn't know about before I started the project, is that when the food hits the pass, when it's done and ready to go to the table, like so many things had to come together, so many people working together just to come together at that exact right moment to be done and to go out, like it will not sit there. Like in a good restaurant, it hits the pass and it's gone. Like it hits the ground, it almost bounces mm-hmm. out, you know? So to be able to take a pic, you know, some of the pictures in the book were shot within like 3 seconds, wow. 1 second, like, you know, and while I'm taking the picture, like there's 8 people sitting there staring at me being like, you know, just give me death stares. Yeah. So that was, but I like a challenge. It was fun, yeah. You know? But that's something I appreciate that now when I go to a restaurant, is like when yeah. it hits, when it comes to your table, like you should eat it
right then.
Like, don't just sit around and talk and like at least have a try, because that's how they've worked so hard to put it together mm-hmm. and come, you know, like that's, so now I'm always kind of like conscious of that.
Were there any people that you were dying to shoot for the book that wouldn't open up their spaces?
You know, I really want to do Roberta's.
It's funny. I think you have an in now.
I've known Carlo since, I don't know when I met him, in 2001. But no in. So, you know what's weird is sometimes the people that know me the longest, I have the least ins with. And I don't know if that's like a personal thing to say about my personality, or if it's kind of like better if you're a stranger and they just see it and they're just like, oh, but now it's like, oh, Todd's doing it. Oh, you know, like whatever, you know? So
I think you should just sneak back there with your camera after the show.
Oh yeah, get in. Yeah, maybe.
Gorilla style.
Okay.
It's pretty quiet. It's 12:30. So you could do it. So you've seen so many different homes and so many different kitchens and restaurants at this point. In terms of food right now, what sort of trends are you seeing in terms of the actual spaces? Because I was thinking about how many the kitchens I've seen tend to have only been in like New York or places I've spent longer amounts of time, like Portland or San Francisco. And a lot of those kitchens feel very similar to me. And I don't know if that's because of food trends. Did you see any sort of trends or similar like layouts and spaces and things popping up?
Yeah, I think that a big movement within the food world, as well as with the interiors, is like the DIY movement. We're at Grand Zero right now. Like Roberta's like in a shipping container with like covered in wood and, you know, everything kind of like homemade and put together. And that's so exciting for me, because mm-hmm. that's very much like my aesthetic and what I'm into, and like just people just doing it. Couldn't have been much different in like the 80s,
yeah.
You know, or 90s even, you know, a lot of super 90s, super slick, minimalist, like stainless steel, like, you know, it's the pendulum has swung, you know,
yeah,
so far in this direction. So I think that's really exciting. And there's, you know, there's a lot of variation in that. Not everything is like shipping containers and wood and stuff. But it's about just everyone bringing their own style to it and making it themselves, which is, it's not mass produced, you know, the opposite, mm-hmm. it's hand done, it's made in a fire, it's, you know, that's like where things are at.
Well, that's a huge thread that runs through everything you do, whether you're photographing homes or interiors. I think that idea of like the hand being shown in the work you're doing is something that always pops up in your work in particular. So you're about to leave for a book tour and you have a lot on your plate. I want to know, before we go, what's the thing that you look forward to most when you come home from, whether it's a shoot or a book tour, what are the things, whether it's a place or things in your home, that make you feel most at home and relaxed?
The thing that I look forward to the most is cooking with my girlfriend at home and being at home. Because when you're on the road, you have no kind of control over what you eat, and you're eating restaurants all the time, which is great. Like, it's amazing. And I always, it's funny when you read like food critics talking about that, they're always like complaining about all yeah. the foie gras they're eating and like you know, all the lobster, and you're like, oh yeah, poor you. But like when you're on the road, just traveling and working, like, to come at home and just being able to, like, have some Russ and daughters and, like, kick back is, like, the best.
Good. Well, I hope you have, at some point in your near future, a long weekend of Russ and daughters breakfast in front of you.
Thank you. And some City White. That's my jam. Roberta's City White.
All right. Nice little Roberta's plug there at the end. So before we go, I just want to say thanks to Todd for coming out. You can pick up his latest book, Edible Selby, in bookstores, and you can visit EdibleSelby.com for information on the book tour and events. Thanks so much for being here, Todd.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.